Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number two, WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Friday leading into Patriots versus Bengals in Cincinnati. We just talked to Trags, covers the Bengals. He does not believe Joe Burrow will be playing, Ted Johnson.
A little bit of a bummer to hear that, I'm not going to lie. I was hoping that he played just to spice this game up a little bit. I don't think it would have made a huge difference. Look, Joe Burrow's a hell of a quarterback, but I just think they're just so bad on defense and limited in what they can do on offense. And this team's rolling for the Patriots right now. 10 days off, it just, you know, I don't think it would have mattered, but still, it would have added a little bit of more intrigue if he would have played.
Yeah. At least, you know, 12:45 to 1:30, and then the game would declare itself, and you're like, oh, okay.
But what was the injury status for Joe Flacco? He was limited. He practiced, but he's been limited.
So. It was AI. I think it was Joe Flacco limited, and then the bracket just said age.
Yeah, he's
right.
And I believe
an AC joint. I think
last Friday he didn't practice and then played on, like, so he's he's old enough to show up and play football.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
He can still, like, the thing is, like, as I took a down note after our talk with Trags, because I wanted Burrow to play. I want Drake to have to beat the best. These are just great tests along the way to getting towards the playoffs. But at the same time, Flacco can sling it. Like I said, 12 touchdowns, 2 picks since he took over.
They've averaged 31 points in the last 3 games.
Yeah.
With Flacco as the quarterback.
I know. And some of those against decent defenses as well. So they may stress the Patriots defense a bit. And we also don't know what the Pats defense is going to look like without Milton Williams. Who is it who told us? Oh, Curran said yesterday it's going to be a significant loss.
Oh, absolutely. It should be. He's your $100 million top free agent signing. Like, he should. If it's not a significant loss, then you have to wonder, well, what are we paying him $100 million for, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's.
Yeah.
One note before we get into 3-point stance, I did see that Mike Vrabel's never beaten Joe Flacco. As a player, he was 0-2, and then as a coach, he's 0-3, I think. So never beaten Joe Flacco.
Interesting. Okay, I did not know that little tidbit.
I don't know if that changes how you feel at all.
He was also 0-3 against Burrow. He was also 0-3 against Burrow as a coach.
Oh.
Oh. He's never had a quarterback quite like Drake May either.
I don't think the world has ever had.
So when he was playing for the Patriots?
So I believe he didn't play Flacco till he was with Kansas City.
With Kansas City, gotcha.
I think he was 0-2 in Kansas City, and then, yeah.
Yeah, he'd be around for 30 years if that
were the case.
What
did he play, like 2 years in KC before
A couple
retiring?
Years in KC, yeah. All right, it's 3 o'clock. You heard him. Ted's here. It's time for the 3-point stance.
Green 19!
Ready!
Just count to three.
That's three!
Three shall be the number thou shalt count.
Pierce for three.
It's good!
Three fabulous flyers.
And the number of the counting shall be three.
Got tip scores! Ties it 3-3!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you're Rob Bradford, who was just back here and told us that he got ripped off paying $22 for a vodka soda in Las Vegas, and $2 for ice cubes. Are you kidding me?
Wait, wow, they have an ice cube upcharge?
Apparently. That's what we just learned back here in the producer's booth. But if all that happened, then you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. Okay, it's 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. 3 hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Andy Hart, you will lead us off. You get 60 seconds to criticize somebody. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right, here, 60 seconds. Go ahead.
So I'm sure you guys have some of these alerts. I get an alert on my phone from The Athletic, and it tells me, America should be rooting for Shedeur Sanders. And I'm like, why? So I click on it, which is what they want me to do, right? They suckered me in. They snookered me. I click in, and Ian O'Connor has a column that says, now an unlikely underdog we should be rooting for Shedeur Sanders. Because, yes, his dad's Dion, and, yes, everything happened at Colorado, and he was the chosen one and this and that, but no longer. Now he's just the latest in the long line of starting quarterbacks for the Cleveland Browns. So you should feel bad for him. He's going to be put in a bad place on Sunday when he takes the field for his first career NFL start. Well, guess what? I'm not buying your column. Don't play your mind games with me and suddenly he's an underdog. No. Shedeur is the Gucci luggage or whatever that Dion said he was when he arrived at Colorado. I'm bringing my Gucci with me. He's still that. He's still the pampered, unlikable dink who fell in the draft. And yes, he's starting on Sunday. That's great. I wish him no ill will, but I certainly will not be rooting for Shedeur Sanders because Shedeur Sanders is not likable. And I like to root for guys who are likable. So screw you, Athletic, and screw you, Shedeur.
You Shedeur about that?
Yes.
Okay.
I can't disagree with you.
Really, you're buff.
Nope. It doesn't matter. I have not attached myself to the, to that family. Nope. Mm-mm. Haven't from day one.
But he's a Ring of Honor guy.
Yeah. You know how I feel about that.
13-12.
Biggest joke ever. So it just I don't know. I just the draft day stuff, he got screwed. I mean, that kid down the defensive coordinator for the Falcons, his son calling him and prank calling him was bullcrap.
Yep.
But just, you know.
Oh, Ulbrich, that's right.
Just over the top, promoting, you know, himself and his dad promoting him, having his own, building his own draft room.
Yeah.
Was over the top. And yeah, please. I mean, it's just so, yeah, I'm not. Christian Arcand feels differently, even though we both went to the same school. The fact that his jersey's retired there is an absolute joke. So I'm with you on that. There's not a whole lot of things about Shedeur that is likable, in my opinion.
Nope. And even in the NFL, so like everything that happened at Colorado, you know, you get a clean slate, right? You go to the NFL, it's a new place, it's a new fan base. And he hasn't been likable there. Remember the whole thing with Rex and the miming the answers because he told him he shouldn't talk and he wouldn't answer the reporters quite like.
Because it was also Dylan Gabriel week, and so he was acting that way. I remember I was all bent out of shape that he was being so dinkish and doing the Rex mime thing regarding Dylan Gabriel. Like, guy, he was drafted two rounds in front of you. Support your teammate. Be a decent human being about it, as opposed to the entitled elitist pain in the ass that he has been all this time as well. And I only hope this way too optimistic on my behalf. I only hope someone or some program or some many youth can learn from this not to be such a diva, because I think it's just such a bad look.
Well, it's he's, you know, he was raised to be that, you know, and so his dad was the biggest diva. And so he's raised his sons to be just like himself. So it's not that surprising. I don't put as much on Shedeur as I do on Dion in that regard.
He should have somewhere along the lines realized his dad could get away with it because he was one of the top five greatest athletes to walk the planet.
Yeah.
And you are a good college quarterback. Like, he was good. He had good times at Colorado. I don't want to pretend he never made plays, but at some point he should have realized he wasn't God's gift to football. Like,
if you ain't trying to change the franchise or the coach, don't give me.
There you go. I thought it was interesting this week. He had some comments where he basically said, I think I'm the guy for the job. This should be my job. And that's, I mean, you know, and the way he said it was a little, he kind of curved it a little bit, but he still just, you know, kind of doesn't quite get it, you know?
Okay. So a quick teaser, Ted, you and I talked about this. You now have veto power. We'll get to it at the 5:30 hour. The pick six parlay. My record is so bad and yours is so good. You now have veto power over my picks. But a little teaser, Shedeur may be involved in my selection for the pick six parlay this week. And we'll see if Ted Johnson approves the pick. And
can we veto already?
No. We also need to get to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Jim in Weymouth has a quick reaction to my three-point stance. What's up, Jim?
Andy, that is a three-point stance mic drop. Outstanding. 100% agree with you.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the support. I don't think America is going to fall in love with Shedeur the way the columnist was asking us to fall in love and give Shedeur a chance or whatever. I think most people have made up their minds in that area already.
Yeah. I think there's enough out there. You've seen enough. You kind of know the kid well enough. Yeah, you know, maybe you don't know all the stories of what I heard at the Alamo Bowl that he was doing when he shouldn't have been. But it's just... Yeah, he doesn't have the right mindset. It's interesting. The Browns, 18 quarterbacks since the new franchise started off in 1999. 18
since the couch era.
18 starters.
Wow, that jersey's getting longer and longer.
This will be the 18th starter with Shador. The 17 previous guys that started for the first time at that franchise, 0-17 in their first games.
Even our guy, because I think Brian Hoyer is one of them, right?
I believe so,
I think
yes.
He's on that list along
but he was
list.
Having a great season until he tore his ACL.
Ah, B-Hoy, we were with you.
Their first games, they started. They're 0-17.
Okay. You might want to veto my pick then.
Well, what?
Well, I'm curious what you had to pick. I don't know if you have. You might have the Raiders, so I don't know.
I would just like to remind you that the Browns give up 13 points at home, and they give up over 30 on the road.
Yeah, but I watched the Raiders the other day, and they stink. Anyway, we'll get to that at the 5:30. Let's proceed with the three-point stance.
And, geez, who knows where Ted's going to go when Andy shares his pick for the pick six. It's just anybody.
Stay tuned in. It's going to be a big surprise.
I'm going to just play ahead and prep a second pick just to have ready in my back pocket.
Okay.
Check the thread.
That's hypothetically pretty smart there. But after Andy's mic drop, we'll pass the mic to Fitzy. Are you ready?
Yo soy... whatever Spanish is for ready.
Okay, well, here is 60 seconds for that. Go ahead.
All right, I'm not sure if any of you had a chance to watch last night, but it was actually a pretty entertaining ball game that went the way nobody around here really thought it would. Your 5.5-point favorite, Buffalo Williams, were knocked off by Davis Mills and the Houston Texans. Final score, 23-19. That drops your Buffalo Bills to 7-4 on the season. A lot of people didn't even think they'd have four losses on the entirety of the season, let alone two-thirds of the way through 2025. More importantly, for your New England Patriots, before they kick off Sunday, likely as we heard from our pal Trags, against Joe Flacco and the Cincinnati Bengals, they have a two-game lead, plus they have a game in hand in that they already beat Buffalo up in Buffalo. So they have the two-game lead and the AFC East advantage. If they win on Sunday, there'll be a game ahead of them in as far as scheduling goes. But basically, this is the AFC East because they do play Buffalo one more time on December 14th. Buffalo's schedule is more difficult than the Patriots. I'm not sure if any of you guys have heard, but apparently the Patriots are a product of their schedule and don't have a difficult run the rest of the way. We've set the floor at 13-4 for the Patriots, and I think that is highly accomplishable. Buffalo is definitely dropping one more along the way, maybe two, which would involve a loss to the Patriots. Win on Sunday. Start printing those hats and T-shirts, baby.
Did anybody feel bad for Josh Allen last night? He got the snot kicked out.
Yeah, 8 sacks.
His tackles looked awful.
Yeah. A little bit, you know, a little bit. Doesn't he have James Cook, though?
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Joe Brady didn't have a great night.
He hasn't had a great stretch here, even though he's on a lot of these lists as like a potential head coach candidate. He's supposed to be like kind of ascending.
I mean, he didn't have any touchdowns, and he had two interceptions. You don't blame Josh Allen for that?
No, I do. Okay. Josh Allen has not played well lately.
The MVP odds?
Yes.
What do we think? Who are the contenders at this point through 11 games?
Drake May, Matthew Stafford, Jonathan Taylor.
End of list.
And that's it. That's probably the list. That's it. So Josh Allen, I would kind of cross him off the list right now. Matthew Mahomes, sorry. You're 0-5 in one-score games. Cross him off the list.
I think the books are starting to do that because you know how they offer you a buyout if you're going to win your bet? My buyout is growing significantly for Drake May. They want me to take their money now rather than having to pay me all the money in the back end.
Okay. But when you say all the money, it was a $2 bet.
Yeah, well, it's two to make 20.
That's got to feel good when that buyout's just
growing.
You're
damn right.
And growing,
it's green
and
it's growing. You're like, do I take it? Nah, let it ride. Let it ride, baby.
The Patriots are not even in the top five best odds to win the AFC Championship right now. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is crazy. I think at last check they had the 11th best to win the Super Bowl.
The Bills and the Chiefs, even though they have superior records over both of them, are still favored higher than the Patriots.
Yeah, career achievement. AFC. It's like a career achievement award. Yeah. I thought this was the 2025 season. I didn't know what they did in the past mattered. No. It's not supposed to be career achievement. The better team this year is the Patriots.
Yep.
We all know that.
Yep.
Why did I become such a homer?
Isn't it glaringly obvious? The Buffalo has problems. The weaponry around him is letting him down. Yeah, you got James Cook. The tight ends are banged up every other week. Keon Coleman is a bit of a disaster right now. That's two healthy scratches in a row for him. It's Khalil Shakir, old man Gabe Davis, and James Cook. And then when you have a pass rush with two tackles who look like they're 2 years ready to 2 years removed from retirement, my God. I mean, poor Josh Allen was on his ass all night.
Who would you have taken? What offensive personnel would you have taken before the season started, the Patriots or the Bills?
Because it had Josh Allen, so the Bills.
But yeah, with James
take
Cook
out
and
the
with Shakir.
Quarterback.
No, I thought they were better.
Cook, still
Shakir,
the Bills. Still the Bills.
Dalton Kincaid? Still, yes, absolutely.
So, and now we're making excuses for Josh.
Yeah.
Okay, just point that out.
Well, I think it shows. I think
he's, we like him.
I think he's lost faith in his people around him, and now he's trying to do too much. And that maybe that's excuse making, but when quarterbacks try to do too much, it usually goes poorly. Mm-hmm. I don't think he trusts anyone around him now. I don't think he trusts the protection. I don't think he trusts the receivers. And now he's trying to play, as Fitzy would say, hero ball.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
And hero ball ends poorly.
We are giving excuses to a division rival. It's unbelievable.
A little bit.
Again, I think it's the likability factor. If it was somebody else, let's say it was Aaron Rodgers in his prime as the QB of the Buffalo Bills, I don't think we'd be making those excuses. I think Ted has a lot to do with the fact that we're all like,
we didn't like Peyton that. Back in the day when we were going against him.
He threw the offensive line. We had protection problems out there.
He was like, funny looking. He always had that red thing on his forehead post game from the too tight a helmet.
That's a good point.
We liked it when you sacked him. We liked when he got a face full of Teddy.
Yes, Dan Ball.
Teddy, I'll cut through the excuses and then we'll get to your 3-point stance. I thought Josh played like an idiot last night. Yeah. I thought he was playing overly chaotic. Was trying to your point. That's a factor of playing hero ball, but his sack rate on third downs this year is 10% higher than last year. Some of that, of course, is offensive line protection weapons, but some of that, Ted, just decision making on his part.
It is, Dan, and it's just he's so frenetic. He's like running around and trying to extend the play.
It's the best word to describe how he's been playing.
Just
it's too frenetic.
Too relaxed. I mean, like, okay, you got to leave the pocket because you got pressure, but, you know, do what Drake does. And, you know, buy some time. Don't be running, doing, you know, figure eights back there, trying to get
skip
the
and
best
rip maybe
alley to.
So
yeah.
we've switched things. Drake was the next Josh Allen. Now Josh Allen needs to be
Drake. I didn't say he was the next.
No,
Josh
everybody, Allen. The world did said Drake was Josh Allen. That's who he should ascend to be. And now we're flipping it and
I didn't say that.
No, I didn't say you. I meant the rest of the world.
Oh, rest of the world. But Drake's doing things that are unique to himself.
And, oh, sure.
Yeah, and so yes, it's. I would rather have Drake May than I would Josh Allen. I've been saying that for the last week. I came out of the shadows.
That's right. You know what, Ted? You're loud and you're proud. There's no more shame behind
that.
And that's why his nickname is Drake May, because he does Drake May things.
Okay. I'm going to have to let that one percolate.
You want to let that one marinate for a while?
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm on with that, but okay.
Oh, perfect timing, because it's Ted's time for a 3-point stance. Are you ready, Ted?
Yeah, I got it, bro. Let's do this.
60 seconds. Go ahead.
Watch it, man. All right, so back in March of 1995, all right, you guys harken back. Just remember those back 1995. Remember those days? It was my pro day at the University of Colorado, and it was a month after I had already done the combine, and so I was. It was an anxious day for me. I'll never forget it. And so I was really worried about my 40. Nailed the 40. I did the 3-cone drill. Nailed that. I did the 5-10-5. Nailed that. And I was feeling really good about the numbers I was putting up. And I was just chilling, watching my other teammates do their drills. And I get a tap on the shoulder and turn around, and it's a scout from the Cincinnati Bengals. And he's like, "Hey, can we go? Let's go do a little workout." And I was like, okay. And I was like, really? The Bengals? The freaking Bengals. I couldn't stand that team. I hated their uniforms. I hated everything about it. So we did a little private workout down on the lower fields. And you know what I did? Since it was a private one and it wasn't up in the stadium where everyone
I tanked it.
You did?
I tripped a couple times over my feet, doing like where they have you kind of backpedal in the straight line and flip your hips.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then break up, fell down. A couple other drills. I did trip over myself a couple times. I wanted to make sure that they did not draft me, and they didn't. They didn't have a second round draft pick. They went at the first overall pick, and then they didn't pick until four picks into the third round. And I was none too happy that they asked for a private workout after I had satisfied myself with the numbers I put up. So I tanked the workout. Thank God they did not. Well, it was either they weren't going to, you know, it was either if I went to the third round, maybe they would have drafted me, but I did not last to the
third
round.
You sly dog.
Your 1995 Cincinnati Bengals finished 7-9 under head coach David Shula. And Ted obviously found his way out of working for defensive coordinator Larry Pecatiello.
Yep. No, thanks. They were dead last in 1991 in their division. They were dead last in 1992. They were dead last in 1993. They were third in their division in 1994. But even 1995, they were second in their division and still had a losing record of 7-9. And they were they were so bad they had the first overall pick that year. Do you know who the first overall pick was?
Achilles Smith.
Dan Wilkerson.
No. Nope.
What was that guy? Big
yeah,
Dan
yeah, yeah, something. Yeah. It was Kajana Carter.
The running back out of Penn State, Kajana Carter.
He was the first overall pick that
year.
You
threw a workout.
Threw a workout with the Bengals, which it was, if there was any team I just could not stand. Just the colors, the tradition, the city. It was the Cincinnati Bengals. So I tanked that baby. If it was up in the stadium where other scouts would have been watching, I would have done it.
Right.
It was just a private workout.
That's why they used to call him Teddy Tank Job.
That's it, man.
No one called him that. Ted, in 1996, you chose wisely, obviously. In 1996, 11-5, your New England Patriots make their way all the way to New Orleans for the Super Bowl. And the Cincinnati Bengals, 8-8.
Terrible franchise. Terrible.
That's the best story, three-point stance you've ever had.
You like that?
I do, because I never saw it coming.
Yeah.
That was like a plot twist in an M. Night Shyamalan movie. Like, you go off and start tripping all over yourself.
But there's a lot you don't know that you'd be surprised about. Yeah, that was one of them.
And it worked out for you, obviously.
Worked
Not
out
only did
perfectly.
You go pretty early in the draft, but you went to a place where you had success and a great career and everything.
Yep.
But what? Wow. Yep. I have so many questions on it, like butterfly
effect.
Of
all the teams, I just please do not.
So they were the bottom for you.
For me, they were the bottom.
Because like there were other bad teams at the time, I'm sure. Like
just but the city, the owner, I couldn't stand the uniforms. Ugh.
Who was at the top of the list? If you were throwing to try to not go to places, did you have?
I love the 49ers, the Chargers, the Broncos. I would have loved those Green Bay. I would have loved to have gone to.
Care about the Patriots?
Didn't know much about them.
No.
I was growing up in San Diego. They were not on TV much. Didn't see, hardly ever saw them.
Then you got to Foxborough and Foxborough Stadium, and you're like, I love this place.
But I was the biggest Giants fan and the biggest Parcells fan, and I wanted to be Mark Bavaro, all right? And I wanted to, you know, the defensive players they had were incredible. So I loved the Giants, and I knew Coach Parcells. I didn't know anything about the Patriots.
Wow. That's a great story, Ted. Now, I know we usually play that as like a making fun of people when we say great story. That was legitimately a great story here on a three-point stance on a Patriots Friday. Absolutely, and you'll learn something new up next because Mike Giardi is always bringing it. He's always got his fastball. He's always got a little something. We'll talk to Mike Giardi as we do most Fridays here on WWE.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons. Patriots Friday here on WEEI Afternoons. And as we do most Fridays at this time, 3:30, we go to the guest line to talk to our buddy Mike Giardi from Boston Sports Journal. And that means it's time for the best intro for the phone hit in the business.
It's time for Mike Giardi.
Stink, stank, and stunk.
The bulging in his disc in his back. The bulging disc in his back.
What do you gain by keeping Bill Belichick around?
I want to see as much Drake May as possible.
Angry Giardi is here.
Wiggy appears to have a bit of a man crush on Cam.
I don't know if you want to take the cheese again.
Mike Giardi, folks, is an angry man.
I'm not pissed today.
I've got you by at least 2 inches.
On Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Mike Giardi, how we doing today?
Let me tell you something. Bug windshield, that's me. My dog took it for a hike, and he decided to roll in crap. So I spent the last 2 hours decrapifying him. It's been a great time.
Well,
you'd fit in right here perfectly.
Could be worse. You could have Stephen A. Smith calling you a weak-ass reporter and Cam Newton threatening you. That's how I feel, and I roll in poo.
That's what happens. Hey, look, that's what happens if you poke the bear.
That's right.
Don't poke me either, because you don't want me and Cam coming after you. We both hate mascots. You saw how he unloaded on a mascot months ago. I did the same.
Difference is,
you're a short guy, so you could be a mascot.
Let's take it easy with the poking guys around here, okay? Come on now. It's a family show.
The difference is I can take you.
Come on. See, Fitzy, keep your head above.
I can't.
Michael, so the Joe Burrow talk, we talked to Trags a little bit earlier. He kind of shot down the idea that Joe Burrow's going to play. So we're getting ready for the Joe Flacco and Ja'Marr Chase-less Bengals. Is there any chance of this game being any sort of a game at all?
There shouldn't be, because the Cincinnati Bengals have one of the worst, if not the worst, defense that I've actually ever looked at. It is remarkable how horrific they are. I don't know if Trag's gone into it, but like, they don't tackle, they don't cover, and they don't rush the passer.
That's exactly what he said.
On top of that, not a lot of effort. So I don't know. Like, even if Burrow played, like, is that going to miraculously turn their defense into something good? I don't think so.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad defense that gives you heart that the Patriots should be able to put up maybe a season high in points, regardless of who was playing quarterback for the other team. What do you expect on Sunday, Mike, as far as like a Patriots game plan? Do you think that they'll pass to open up the run to open up the pass, or just kind of do as they wish, since this defense seems so compliant?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll try to sprinkle in some Ramondre and be a little bit balanced at first. And then, you know, if the run game is static or whatever, you just let Drake take over. And it has worked to the tune of 8 straight wins. So I think you feel like you have pretty good answers regardless of how they want to play.
Hey, Mike, I watched last night's Bills game versus the Texans, you know, and Josh, you know, he doesn't have a lot of help, but there's also, you know, kind of there's a piece of his game that's kind of, he's reverted back to his early days. I think just a little bit frantic back there, throws two interceptions, no touchdown passes, sacked 8 times. And I'm just curious, in the MVP race, you know, how do you look at Drake May when it comes to MVP race? And do you think now that I feel like Josh is kind of maybe playing his way out of it, does that, you know, where do you have Drake May in the MVP for your?
I think he's got to be the number one guy right now, right? I mean, look, there's obviously plenty of time. You know, this could go in the wrong direction. You lose 3 out of 4 or something like that. We'll be having the same conversations. But if he continues to play at this level, the Patriots are going to win the division. They could very well end up as the number one seed. And I think we had this conversation a few weeks ago. Like, that's the recipe. It's 12, 13, 14 wins. It's a number one or number two seed. And it's winning the division. That's what's won MVPs over the last 11, 12 years. So I don't know. Like, you know, I mean, I guess you could, does someone else emerge from that group? But it's not going to be Josh, I don't think. So he feels like he's the front runner to me, Ted.
Let me ask you, Mike, you know, Parcells used to always like to, when he was drafting players, you know, draft players that reminded him of other players. And I'm curious, does Drake May, when you watch him play, does he remind you of anyone in particular?
I think it's like sort of like an amalgamation of a bunch of different guys, right? Like, I think there's some comparisons to Herbert that make sense to me. There's some to Josh that make sense to me. I even think I think Brian Hoyer compared him to Rodgers, and I can totally see that. And then I was even thinking this week, as they're getting ready to maybe play Joe Burrow or not play Joe Burrow, whatever it may be, that like, he has the same thing that Joe likes to do, in the sense of hold the ball to the last possible second to make the big play. And Burrow's gotten himself in trouble at times with that, with in terms of the injuries. But like, think of how many, he held on that ball for that tick longer, took the hit, but delivered a 55-yard strike to Chase or T. Higgins or something like that. And we've seen Drake at points do that as well. So I think what's going to end up happening is we're going to start comparing guys that come into the league and say, hey, he kind of reminds you of Drake, doesn't he? A little bit, maybe, you know, that I think that's the direction we're headed in.
Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, here on WEEI Afternoons. Mike, I never thought I'd be asking a question anything like this, but here we are. They've won 8 in a row. Everybody loves Drake. Everybody loves Vrabel. Everybody loves the Patriots. Is this a team that could use a loss, some adversity, something down the stretch to kind of test their mettle to better prepare them for the postseason? Or simply, are games against the Ravens and the Bills, if you win them and control them good enough and you roll into the postseason?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I mean, I know we've gotten into this, like, well, would the Patriots have been better off if they lost the game late in the year and sort of, like, rekindled their fire?
Yep.
Like, this team's rolling. They feel good about themselves. They still feel like they haven't played their best football. And I think we could argue that they probably haven't played their best football, maybe in pockets during games, but not from start to finish. And so if you can keep this rolling and, look, the Cincinnati without Burrow and the Giants on a Monday night, you know, but that Bills Ravens thing is a pretty big deal, and you want to, you know, you could not only could you beat those teams, but the way things are trending in the conference, I mean, could you knock one of them out of the playoffs or put their playoffs hopes on life support? Like, there's still stuff there to, like, you should be motivated. And if this team gets fat and happy, well, then, you know, then they weren't made of the stuff that we thought they'd been made of here for the last 2 months.
Broncos are on the bye on Sunday, so if the Chiefs knock off the Colts, then you're basically the one seed, and you got a shot, you know, staring down the barrel of a lot of good things. One thing, though, that I think we have kind of underrated could be the impact of the loss of Milton Williams. How significant do you think that's going to be along basically all three phases of the defense, Mike?
I think it's really significant in the sense that he has delivered the goods for year one of that contract. And I know you can look at stats, but I'm just telling you down-to-down impact. And then talking to all the D-line guys this week, because I wrote about it today for Boston Sports Journal, and they're like, he's the heartbeat of our group. Like, we're bummed that he's not going to be here. And now our job is to, you know, prove to him that all the work that he's put in with us, we can deliver, we can hold the fort, play well, and then we get him back for the stretch run in the postseason. But his energy, the leadership, he makes big plays every game, you know. So, and I think it's not a coincidence that at times in that Jets game, they struggled against the run. Milton went out really early in that football game. Like, yeah. So they miss him. He's a playmaker. To me, he's been their best player on defense. I know Gonzalez is the better, quote-unquote, player. But from week one to now, Milton Williams has been your best defensive player.
Yeah, I agree. He got hurt, like, five plays in. It was early when he got out of there, Mike. And we've been kind of talking about this topic. Who can you ill afford to lose other than Drake May? You know, who do you think is the most important guy to this team, and you can't afford to have this guy get injured?
I would say it's probably that's a good one. I would say, can I split my vote?
Go ahead.
I'm gonna split my vote.
Go for it.
Nice job, Peter King.
Yep, you got it. Steph Diggs, Will Campbell, and Robert Spillane.
Yep.
Big
yep.
Bam boom.
Yep.
Spillane makes every list. Wow.
Yeah, he's important.
Because, again, like, sort of just that heartbeat guy, and then you've got to look at what's behind him. Like, Christian Ellis was coming on before he got hurt, but Christian's not Spillane. Tavai, not Spillane. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think part of what their defense is built around is having him in the middle, and the way he diagnoses and the way he just, you know, after the first 2 weeks, he's made every tackle that's pretty much been presented to him. You know, the Diggs thing is just the trickle-down effect. Like, I think their room is better off, and I think there's more confidence if he were to go down. But he's the clear one, and even though he might not be the clear one in terms of what their final numbers look like every week, like, when they got to have it, he's been the guy that's generally delivered for them. And, you know, if Campbell goes down, it's Vidarian Lowe. And we've lived that, and I don't think we want to live it again.
Mike, I'm not going to ask you to pick the game on the way out because I think I know which way you're leaning. So I'll ask you a different question. Is this the game where Drake May gets that elusive 300 yards, and does he need it?
Well, see, I do like this idea. This was floated to me earlier today. I hadn't really thought about it, but, like, he hasn't had one this year.
Yep.
And, you know, like, hey, I know Vrabel doesn't want to say too much about him because, you know, you're just trying to keep him level. But, like, this would be a nice, hey, let's let Drake go throw for 350 and four touchdowns if the opportunity presents itself, and get him to put that at the top of his resume, or right up near the top of his resume, saying, well, you got to check that off now because he did that too.
Hold on. Let me ask you this. Okay, they have a 20-point lead going into the fourth, and he's close to getting 300. Do you keep him out there, or do you put him on the sideline?
So I am Mr. Conservative on this stuff. I would put him on the sideline because, hell, I do not want him to get hurt.
Yep.
But if Vrabel comes from the Bill cloth in terms of, like, you know, there's still a whole quarter. Things can happen. Like, do you play another series? Do you play – how do you do it? You know, you put Dobbs in there, and if Dobbs does a Matt Castle and throws a pick, do you put Drake right back in there? But, I mean, me, conservative, totally. I'd be like, you know, you come over here. put the jacket on, take your cleats off. You're good. We're done.
That's, you're talking about the old Bill Belichick. The new Bill Belichick doesn't like when Wake Forest goes for it on fourth and two after he calls a timeout. You know, that's,
yeah, but and then he's also going to co-ed adult cheerleading. I didn't even know that was a thing.
How about that?
Yep.
None of us.
That wouldn't have been on your bingo card.
Great picture of him.
Oh, it's awesome.
There's a great picture of him. I know you would appreciate it. He looks like, in that moment, maybe for the first time in this whole little stretch with Jordan, that he was like, what the hell am I doing? Is this worth it? And then, of course,
same brain, buddy. I saw that picture, and I thought, that's the worst I've seen him look in the last 20 years was in that picture.
Rumor is, actually, she's going to bring him to an adult kickball league next week, Mike.
Oh, nice.
All right, Mike, we'll let you get back to literally, I guess, the crap that you're dealing with.
Yeah,
and good luck.
Good luck.
So what takes off crap? What's the product we're
shampoo
using?
Shampoo and a hard brush.
Dawn?
And you know the best part about this dog is he hates water.
Oh, perfect. That's a cat dog.
So I'm literally wrestling with him. It's been fun.
What's the turkey plan, Mike, by the way?
I think actually, it's the cape. It's where we're caped on.
All right.
The small clan that's left of us, we get together, have some turkey, maybe an eggnog in honor of that troll Andy Hart.
Little maple whiskey eggnog, all's right in the world. All right, Mike, we'll talk to you next week.
See you, boys.
See ya. Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. I don't know if you caught the tone there, Fitzy. I made fun of you last week for calling a game the third preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Mike Giardi's treating this like the fourth preseason game. Let's go out there and get Drake May 350 yards and four touchdowns. We're just penciling in stats now? Holy Moses.
They've passed all the tests.
I guess.
All the trap tests, and the Bengals are the historically the worst defense maybe ever to play. Football.
And Trags told us Mike was just going over like, I'm not sure if Trags told you, and then he literally said the exact same, like, this is it's a legendarily bad defense. And the Jets game, the way that one went, like, it was supposed to sort of be like, yeah, you get up, you get a 20-point lead, and then you just sort of rest some guys and test some things out.
All right, coming up, we will have a little more reaction to Mike Giardi's poo-pooing. See what I did there of everything that the Bengals bring to this game. And we got to look at a little Celtics action. NBA Cup action at the Garden tonight. Woo, that's fantastic. That's next here on
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Who can you ill afford to lose other than Drake May? You know, who do you think is the most important guy to this team, and you can't afford to have this guy get injured?
I would say it's probably that's a good one. I would say, can that guy split my vote?
Go ahead.
I'm going to split my vote.
Go for it.
Nice job, Peter King.
Steph Diggs, Will Campbell, and Robert Spillane.
Yep.
Bam, boom.
Mike Giardi moments ago here on WEEI Afternoons. If you missed the interview, you want to hear it again, go back on the Audacy app, AUDACY.
You did leave one guy out.
No Gonzo. And he was already splitting his vote three ways, so I don't know why he couldn't split it four ways if you're going to keep splitting it.
Yeah, Ordway.
Those would be the four, though. I think most people would come up with Will Campbell, Steph Diggs, Robert Spillane, and Gonzo.
Who's number one, though? Most indispensable.
I would say Will Campbell for me. That would be mine.
I think I'm going to not disagree.
Because I tied that to Drake May. Like,
if you miss Gonzo, it doesn't put Drake May in harm's way. If you miss Will Campbell, it puts Drake May in harm's way.
Yeah, it probably is. And yeah, because I don't think Jared Wilson is playing all that good recently. So it probably would be Will Campbell.
And then I can talk myself into, if Diggs isn't there, well, you're getting Booty back, and Mac Hollins has done a pretty nice job. Yeah, and Hunter Henry. And
They didn't really skip a beat with Booty out.
No.
So
and you've kind of added. Now, that's where the question I asked him about some adversity.
I think, don't get me wrong, I think Diggs is a more impactful player than Booty, even though Booty's the deep threat guy. I still think the straw that stirs the drink is Diggs.
I do too, and that's why when I asked about adversity, I'd like to see a game where they're gutting it out against a defense that's playing pretty well, and maybe you need a drive, because I think that's where you're going to lean on Diggs and that relationship with Diggs and you know, the whole Josh said it again yesterday. Hoyer said it, but players over plays. You know what? This feels like a time where we got to get the ball to Diggs. This is a Diggs drive. Yeah. Let's get down the field. Yeah. And if you lost that, could Drake do it? Probably, but I think it would be hard.
Especially versus zone, where he's tearing up zone. Yep. And Diggs is the best at getting open versus zone. And teams keep playing zone because of his penchant for running with the football.
And looking ahead to Sunday real quick, we'll get to the Celtics, but Mac Hollins, I think, has stepped up nicely with Booty out. I'm intrigued to see what Mac Hollins is going to be with Booty on the field. I think that trio is intriguing, especially this week against a pass defense that everybody tells me about as bad as you're going to find in the NFL. So Mac Hollins as the three, I like Dan Ball. Oh, Dan Ball says, wrap it up. We got to go to break. Celtics and Nets at the Garden tonight in the NBA Cup action back-to-back here. We'll see if the Celtics can keep it rolling. They're one game above 500. Can they get to two? Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, it's time for one of Teddy's favorite segments of the week, I think, the build-up. He's going to get us ready for Patriots, Bengals, and a little teaser. I think Tonga will be involved, and I'm intrigued because I like the fullback that is Tonga. So that's up next here on WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.